to me, the bigger significance is the what now. Whoever replaces al-Baghdadi will not have the gravitas and significance to the organization.
So obviously him being a founder and in that position for a long time means he had a deeper Rolodex, so to speak, and had more gravitas. And yeah, these new people are not going to have the same impact he had. So what then are the challenges they face?
Their challenge will be to exert themselves and sustain or implement themselves over the organization and attempt to exert leadership on a very difficult time for their organization. They don't hold the ground like they used to. They don't hold the infrastructure like they used to. They're being pressured from multiple sides. And whoever the leader is going to have a couple of competing interests. One is, as we've seen, self-survival. It is very easy to tout your willingness to die until you've had an opportunity to chew on that prospect for a little while. And so, first off, that is going to be an overlay. Secondly, their ability to sustain the organization while it's in this very fluid and dynamic environment is also going to be a very practical or operational difficulty. As we know that there has been some ISIS fighters that have gotten out of the camps, trying to gather those ISIS fighters back into the fold and also to take tactical advantage now of this other freed pool of individuals at their disposal is also going to be a challenge there. And then the last thing is, I would say, is this. From whoever replaces them, some of the other challenges that they're going to have is that the situation there in terms of having a safe haven for them to go to, it remains, you know, completely unresolved there. We have yet to realize or really see the intentions of the Kurds, how far the Kurds are going to go with this, how far the Russians are going to permit the Kurds to go with this, how far the Syrians are going to permit this to go on, and then, of course, our own national strategic considerations as well are going to play into that. Certainly the degree of the Iranians are going to play into that. So first off, from the next who, they've got a lot of immediate considerations to deal with. The larger issue to me is not so much the who. There'll be a who, and however long that this individual replaces, you know, the next sits at top of the leadership is speculation. But the bigger issue to me is the what now? What does this dynamic mean for this organization? That to me is the bigger issue. For sure, it is not the end of the organization in any stretch. What I suspect will happen is that they will morph into a more decentralized network kind of operation in the absence of any leadership that can coalesce. Is the war over for the United States? Is our involvement in this part of the world over in terms of ISIS? Absolutely not, because we've already seen that ISIS is starting to morph into a decentralized, you know, unaffiliated network, if you will, anyway.
You're talking about the people who have been anointed leaders, and one of them's gone already. And yep. A second one, I think his name is Abdullah Kardash, he's on the clock now. How many people like that does ISIS have? Do they have a strong bench?
No, they don't. But strong is relative. Look, they're already down to now the third tier leadership. They have succession plans, but they're certainly not as formalized as succession plans as you would have in a competing organization, if you will, or certainly their military hierarchy is certainly, it's not a hierarchy as we would consider it in the same sense as you would have an established government entity or a quasi-political entity. Perfect example, you know, there's a tremendous number of parallels, I want to say this with a caveat, with what you see is the leadership void in al-Qaeda at the time. Well, this is a parallel, you know, sort of structure. The challenge they have is that a lot of the leadership that surrounds this organization here is built on credibility and personal allegiance, if you will. And whatever leader takes over is two, now possibly three, removed. And Abu Bakr doesn't even have the familial ties in which to pass the mantle to as UBL was attempting to do with his son. So that they don't have quite the bench that they used to before. The other thing is the challenge that they're going to have is to have a leader who has the ability to foster and cultivate relationships with external organizations, which have been key to ISIS up to now. And there is some doubt that the successors have that ability. Let's not forget that one of the things that enabled Abu Bakr was the commonality of his time that he spent in Iraq, the time that he spent with other individuals who later became part of his organization. But there was a lot of sort of cross connection there. Over the period of time, those relationships have sort of have separated. So I think it would be speculative to say, look, they've got four, they can go 4, 6, 8. I think the more important point and dynamic in this case is that as each they go through each layer of leadership, no matter how much or how much leadership they go through, the overarching leadership as a successor will lose something in terms of their ability to lead that organization, particularly during these times that they're dealing with.
Terrorism expert Bruce Alexander, president of Security One Solutions. JJ Green, WTOP News.